From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open this hour of old-time radio with an episode of Counterspy, starring Don McLaughlin as David Harding, chief of the U.S. Counterspies. This was one of the first radio series dealing with counter-espionage. This broadcast from October 18th of 1949 on Mutual. It's entitled The Case of the Photograph Furrier.
Pepsi-Cola, P-E-P-S-I, that's your smartest cola buy. Pepsi-Cola presents Counterspy.
Washington calling David Harding, Counterspy. Washington calling David Harding, Counterspy.
Harding, Counterspy, calling Washington.
United States Counterspy, especially appointed to investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad.
Tonight, the case of the photograph furrier. Another Counterspy report to the American people. Brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday by Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot. Lot more value, lot more zest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
Yes, Pepsi's best. Because Pepsi, and only Pepsi, gives you more bounce to the ounce, more real value and quick food energy, ounce for ounce, than any other leading cola drink. That's right. No other leading cola can say that but Pepsi-Cola. Proven highest quality and homogenized for finer, smoother flavor. More bounce to the ounce. That's Pepsi. Now, everybody, listen later in this program for a sensational special offer from Pepsi-Cola. Meanwhile, remember, get more bounce to the ounce. Get delicious, ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And now, to Counterspy. Two a.m. A low-hanging haze clings to the surface of New York's East River. All is quiet except for the lapping of the water against the dock and the occasional wail of a tugboat whistle in the distance. Suddenly, the thick silence is broken by the low purr of a motorboat engine.
See the pier number yet, Joe?
Not yet, Bugs. Keep her turning over.
All right.
That looks like the right pier, Bugs. There's a ladder at the motor. Stay with the tiller. We got enough speed to drift into position.
Okay.
That's it. Hold her steady, Bugs, against the dock.
Right, Joe. Should I tie up?
I'll climb up the ladder first. Make sure it's the right pier. This is it, Bugs. Tie up and come up.
Right away.
Imported furs, bales of them waiting to be moved, just like Lloyd said.
He sure gets the straight dope.
Yeah. Let's get him over to the edge of the pier, and we'll lower him into the boat.
Right, I'll pick up.
The watchman. Come on, Bugs, behind this bale of furs with me.
Yeah. Joe.
Now let him lay. We'll keep an eye on him.
I'll give him one more with my foot to make sure he sleeps solid.
That's enough, Bugs. Let's get to work. There's $60,000 worth of furs on this dock, and Lloyd don't want us to miss a dime's worth.
They finish the furs for a very smart New York fur salon, Lloyd's of Park Avenue. And the samples we bought there check with the laboratory reports on the stolen furs.
You got a tail on Lloyd?
We can pick him up now if we want to.
No, Peters. We've got to make a thorough cleanup in this case. The crooks, the sellers, and the buyers.
A lot of money involved, Dave?
Well, not only the money, Peters. Our trade relations with friendly countries. These robberies are leading to ill feeling and international lawsuits. That's why I want to wash this up once and for all. So there'll be no hangover.
I see.
Now, we'll stake out this Bonner Company. Get photographs of everyone who does business with them. We'll have agents with our new miniature cameras cover the place like a blanket.
The company's building is located in the suburbs of New York City. You want to look it over yourself and plan the stakeout?
Yes. We've got to get photographs that'll convict everyone who does business with the Bonner Company, as well as the fancy Mr. Lloyd himself.
Adele? Joseph's expecting me.
We both are. He's in the private office.
Then let's go in.
Joe, he's here.
Huh? Ah. Hello, Mr. Lloyd.
Hello, Joseph.
Isn't the newest fad up on Park Avenue these days, sporting a cane?
Does it annoy you?
Yeah, makes me happy. Did you get rid of the furs from that pier job?
Naturally.
For how much?
$60,000?
That's full market value.
Of course, Adele. Lloyd's Park Avenue never cuts prices.
Work it over, Mr. Lloyd.
I intend to. $20,000, the usual one-third.
Not any longer, Mr. Lloyd.
What?
Adele and I have been figuring the divvy ain't right.
Oh?
We do the dirty work, heist the furs and process them in this stinking building out here in Queens.
So?
You just sit in that fancy Park Avenue saloon of yours, peddling them to beat up biddies. Air conditioned, no less.
What do you want, Joseph? Air conditioning?
No, two-thirds.
Very funny. Now, if you'll step aside, I have to fit a patron at my salon. I don't want to be late.
You don't leave until we settle this, Mr. Lloyd.
There's nothing to settle. Step aside, Joseph.
No.
Hey, keep your hands off me.
Easy, half-pipe.
Let go.
Get down in that chair. That's better.
Joseph, you'll regret this.
Maybe you'll regret it more. Now, I wouldn't want to muss up that pretty face of yours. Two-thirds for us, and we're all friends again. And stop shoving that cane in my face.
Look at it more closely, Joseph. Notice the opening in the end?
What?
Joe, it's a gun.
Bright girl, Adele. This cane is really a disguised gun.
Lloyd.
Not 3 inches from your throat, Joseph.
Take it away, Mr. Lloyd.
Back up, Joseph. That's the way. Against the wall. Now, the push on this little button at the handle would make you a very bloody spectacle, Joseph.
Easy,
Adele. I don't want my hand to slip.
Please, Lloyd, take it away.
I will, Joseph. When you get this clear, this is my operation. I finance it. I tip you off when furs are due in. I sell them once they're stolen. You're nearly my workhorse.
Sure, Mr. Lloyd, sure.
You remember that?
Yeah, only take that thing away from my throat.
Very well. One mistake is permitted, Joseph. I'll take it away this time, particularly since I'll have work for you to do shortly.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd, you're the boss. Same setup, same split.
Bright's boy, Joseph. Don't change your mind, because the next time you see the end of this cane, a bullet will be spitting out of it.
Looks bad, Dave. The Bonner Company is the only building within four square blocks of these vacant lots. A flea couldn't be inconspicuous out here.
Just across from the Bonner Building, that newsstand right by the subway entrance.
Think we can use it?
Pull up to the stand. I'll buy a paper.
All right.
All right, morning papers. Get your paper here.
Son.
All right with you, mister. What'll it be, mister?
Times and the Tribune.
Sure thing.
Dave, maybe we could set an agent to take over this stand.
Might make these fur thieves suspicious.
Chance.
Here you are, mister. Times and Tribune.
Thanks. Keep the change.
Thanks.
That's a nice spot you got here. End of a subway line, end of a bus line, no competition. You been in this spot for long?
3 years.
Been in business a long time, huh? What's your name?
Eddie Sloan.
Well, good luck, Eddie. Maybe I'll be seeing you again.
Sure. I'm always here, mister. So long.
So long.
What are you reading?
Let's go, Peter.
What are you thinking about, Dave? Using the kid?
Yes. From his stand, he could snap anyone who walked in or out of that building.
Looks like our best bet. He could operate the new camera, all right. It's simple enough.
That's the way I feel. Find out where he lives, his family, all about him. Then bring him in the office tomorrow. If he's as bright and as able as he seems, we'll add a slightly underage counter spy to our staff.
Bonner Fur Company.
Joseph, this is Lloyd.
Oh, yes, Mr. Lloyd.
A little information.
More furs coming in?
Yes. The Bay Trading Company has a carload of furs on the way. Shipped by train across country from Seattle. They're due to arrive at the East Shore freight yards tonight. They won't be unloaded until morning.
Officially, that is.
Quite right, Joseph. They'll be in a refrigerated Yukon Pacific boxcar. Number 6220.
6220, got it.
Good. I'll leave it to you to make the usual arrangements.
Eddie? This is Mr. Harding.
David Harding?
That's right, Eddie.
Oh, then, Mr. Peters, you weren't conning me and my uncle. You really are counter spies.
I wasn't conning you, Eddie.
Gosh.
Sit down, Eddie.
Well, yeah, sure.
Peters, have you told Eddie and his uncle what we wanted him for?
Just a little. Eddie's uncle says the decision is up to Eddie, as long as it's safe.
That's fair enough. Eddie, what do you know about the counter spies?
Gosh, everything.
Everything?
I mean everything that's been on the radio or in the papers. I follow every case you're on.
Oh, that's flattering.
Very.
Oh, that last case with the hijackers and those cameras. I followed it all.
Well, I'm glad you did, Eddie. Would you like to see the new cameras we used?
You bet.
Peters, there are some cameras and packages of film in that cabinet.
Right away. Hey, ready? Take a look at it.
Boy, it's keen. You could take pictures without hardly anybody knowing you were taking them.
Well, that's just what it was designed for, Eddie. In fact, that's what we'd like you to do.
Me?
Yes, Eddie.
Gosh, me helping the counter spies. What do you want me to do,
well,
Mr. Harding?
Well, not so fast, Eddie. I want to make sure you understand this might be a little dangerous.
I ain't afraid.
Well, you should be, Eddie. It's always good to be afraid. Then you'll be careful.
Oh.
Now that we've slowed down, we'll go into the details. Now, first the camera. Go ahead and pick it up, Eddie.
It's a beaut.
Mm-hmm. And simple to operate.
You see, Eddie, it's precision design, made to be foolproof. Because lots of times we have to use that camera under very difficult circumstances.
I see, sir.
Now, what we want you to do, Eddie, is take pictures of everyone who goes into that building opposite your newsstand.
Of the fur company.
That's right, Eddie. The Bonner building.
Crooks, huh?
Well, that's what we hope to prove by your pictures, Eddie.
They're fur thieves, Eddie. And the men going in will be going there to buy stolen goods.
And we want to catch the buyers as well as the actual crooks.
I'll do whatever you say, Mr. Hardy.
Good boy. Now, you won't be entirely alone.
No?
No, I've arranged to replace the agent in the subway station change booth with one of our counter spies. From time to time, he'll come up to see whether everything's all right.
I can take care of myself.
Oh, I'm sure you can, Eddie, but we'll just play it safe. Now, you'll have to conceal the camera so it won't be obvious to anyone that you're taking pictures.
Oh, I could cover it with a newspaper.
Well, the newspaper could blow away or the camera might slip out.
That's right.
Well, how about my change box? I use a wooden box. I could get another one, cut a hole in it, and sight it through the hole.
Well, that sounds like a better idea.
And I'll take good care of the camera. I won't drop it or nothing.
Well, don't worry about that. It's very strongly built. Well, now, Eddie, when you've taken all the films on the roll, you'll remove the roll. Mr. Peters or I will come along at the end of the day, and we'll buy a newspaper. Include the rolls with the paper.
I start right away, Mr. Hardy?
Right away, Eddie.
Here's your camera, Eddie.
Gee, thanks.
And plenty of film. Now, Eddie, if you get the right pictures with this new counter-spy camera, you'll be going a long way toward helping us solve this case. In fact, everything depends on you.
Everybody listen for the amazing Pepsi-Cola offer mentioned earlier in this program. For a few days only, you can actually get a genuine, instant-action counter-spy candid-type camera. Yes, a real super-speed snapshot camera that takes wonderful, clear, sharp, black-and-white pictures. Now yours for only 50 cents and one bottle top from Pepsi-Cola. Did you ever hear anything so amazing? And you'll be even more amazed when I tell you all the high-quality features usually found on expensive imported cameras. Genuine Plano convex double-element lens. Genuine beauty finish photographic black plastic case. 16 pictures, not just 8, on every reel of film. And mind you, that's standard size film that you can get at your nearby camera store. Takes pictures 1 1/4 inches by 1 5/8 inches. So clear, you can actually have them enlarged. Instant eye-level viewfinder that shows exactly the picture you're taking. Instantaneous 1/25th of a second speed shutter. Fixed, sure focus that needs no adjustment. Just the thing to take to the beach with a carton of Pepsi-Cola. In fact, this is such a wonderful camera, it's guaranteed for 1 year against mechanical defects. It's selling in stores right now for much more, but listen, here's all you do. Send only 50 cents in coin with your name and address, and only one Pepsi-Cola bottle top to Counter Spy Headquarters, Box 12, New York 8, New York. Now please print your name and address clearly, and be sure to enclose 50 cents. Your Counter Spy candid-style camera will be sent postpaid, but don't delay. This offer must be limited. Send for your camera now. Remember, I'll repeat that address later. And now, back to Counter Spy.
There's the entrance, Joe, the East Shore Freight Yards.
Drive right in, Bucks.
Yeah, but there's a watchman on duty. I cased
him. I know, just drive right in.
All right.
I heard. Stop for him.
What?
Stop.
Oh,
just where do you fellas think you're going?
You the yard watchman?
That's right.
You're the guy I want to see. I'm from Bay Trading Company. Here's my loading bill.
So?
We're working overtime. Supposed to pick up a load of furs from refrigerator car 6220. You know where it is?
Sure. It's right down the yard a bit. I'll hop on the running board and direct you.
Thanks.
All right, just go straight ahead. I'll tell you when to turn. All right, slow down. Slow down. Turn right across the tracks ahead. All right, there she is. 6220. You can back right up to the doors.
Thanks, Pop.
It's a sealed car, you know.
We'll get it open all right, Pop. Like this. All right, come on, Bud. Roll them over in the shadow. I'll break the seal and we'll start unloading.
Oh, you got nerve, Joe. Just walking right in.
It's the only way to pull a job. Make them think it's legitimate, and you'll even get the mayor to help load the truck. Anybody else shows up, we're just working overtime. Catch?
Catch.
Now, let's get started. We got a lot of overtime to put in. $100,000 worth.
Here you are, Dave. Enlargements of the pictures Eddie took yesterday. Those cameras do a wonderful job.
Yes, Peters. And Eddie's no expert. But still, these photographs show every detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can work these cameras.
There are 32 photographs. We've identified 24 of the men as supposedly legitimate fur dealers.
Well, we'll investigate and put agents on them. Tell the agents to stand by for a pickup order.
Right, Chief.
A couple of more days of Eddie's camera work, and we'll be ready to round up everyone who's had dealings with this mob.
Give me a news, kid.
Sure, mister. Here.
Half a buck. I'll take change from the...
No, don't.
I'm sorry, kid. I thought that was your change box. It's a nice camera.
Yeah. My hobby. Here you are, mister. 47 cents.
Thanks. So long, kid.
Another guy. Got it. Now this guy.
You take a lot of pictures, kid.
Huh?
I've been watching you for the past 10 minutes. What's the idea?
What do you mean?
Taking pictures of everyone who goes into the fur company.
Who says I did?
Don't get wise, kid.
I told you, this camera's my hobby.
Take it easy, kid, or I'll break it. Go on, get going. You got some talking to do.
Lloyd, this coat doesn't seem to do anything for my figure.
But Mrs. Vanderpool, why tamper with perfection? And that, in a word, is your figure.
Now, Lloyd.
I mean it.
I could show you several other fur coats we have in the salon, but this coat is simply stunning. You set it off beautifully.
You really think so?
Mrs. Vanderpool, I know women. I know furs. I know beauty. At the moment, you are the highest form of all three.
It's so wonderful to deal with you, Lloyd. You understand me. The real me. Now, my husband doesn't...
Oh, pardon me, Mrs. Vanderpool. I'll return in a moment.
Of course.
Lloyd of Park Avenue speaking. Oh. What? I see you. All right, all right, all right. I'll be right over.
Now, Lloyd...
Mrs. Vanderpool, if you'll excuse me, one of the girls will take care of you.
Girls?
I'm so sorry. Urgent business.
Oh,
But I'll see you soon, perhaps for lunch sometime.
Oh, lunch. That would be splendid.
I sure it would. Till then, Mrs. Vanderpool, au revoir.
Harding speaking.
This is Saunders reporting from the subway booth, Mr. Harding.
Oh, yes, Saunders?
The newsboy's gone.
What?
Yes, Mr. Harding, I was delayed on my half-an-hour check. People want to change. It's been 45 minutes since I last saw the boy.
45 minutes? Saunders, I told you...
Well, Mr. Harding...
Look, never mind. Stay there on duty. Peters, did you get that about Eddie Sloan?
Yes, Dave.
Alert the rating squad. We've got to move in on that fur company right away. Before, it was a question of chiseling crooks and tax evaders, but now it's a boy's life. I wouldn't risk that for all the crooks in creation. Get the squad moving, fast.
Buck, you stay out here with Adele.
Okay,
the kid's in the next room, Mr. Lloyd.
All right, Joseph. And Bugs, don't think. Please don't ever think again.
Well, I thought you'd want to know. That's why I brought the kid over.
You please close your moronic mouth or I'll close it for you. Come on, Joseph.
Hey, what's the idea of here? I got a newsstand to take care of.
This is the little beast, eh, Joseph?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'll ask the questions. Why were you taking pictures of this establishment?
It's a hobby.
Don't be insolent, you little brat.
Can't talk to me like that.
I'll do much worse if you don't answer my questions promptly and truthfully.
I don't know what you're all excited about. Guy takes pictures and you think it was robbing a bank.
Any particular reason for that reference to robbery?
What?
Listen, you little devil. Obviously, someone put you up to taking pictures. I wish to know who.
I told you, it's my own hobby.
Joseph, grab that brat's shoulders.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
Hey, cut it out.
Turn him over that chair. See if a little caning will loosen his tongue.
Let me go.
All right, you little beast. You ready to tell me who put you up to this?
I wouldn't tell you the time of day.
Very well. Joseph, we'll just...
No! Mr. Lloyd!
What's that?
Adele, I don't...
All right, you two. Stand where you are.
Mr. Harding.
Harding.
Counter spies. Now we know the answer.
Yes, Lloyd, we've been on your trail for a long time.
I got lots of pictures, Mr. Harding. About 20 guys went in this morning.
Good, Eddie. When we confront them with that evidence, I'm sure they'll all be willing to talk about their dealings with Mr. Lloyd.
I won't be here to listen, Mr. Harding.
What?
This cane pointing at the boy's throat is a concealed gun.
Well, you...
Remove Mr. Harding and I'll blow this urchin's dirty little throat apart. Joseph, relieve Mr. Harding of his gun.
Okay, Mr. Harding. Thanks.
Now, Mr. Harding... You'll do as I say, or I'll slaughter the brat with the greatest of pleasure. That's better.
Mr. Harding.
Yes, silence, you little beast.
Now what, Lloyd?
Start walking. In front of me. That's right. Through that door.
Duck, Eddie! Let go of this cane.
Watch it, Peter.
I'll kill both of you.
No, you don't, Joe. I'll take back my gun here.
Let go of my cane.
Not this time, Lloyd.
Close. Nice work, Peters. You got Lloyd.
Couldn't shoot before, Dave. You might have gotten Eddie. Stood by the door and grabbed the cane gun when he came out.
I'm one guy who's glad you did.
And so am I, Peters. Come on, Eddie, let's go. We'll take Joe and Adele along. And don't forget that camera, Eddie. Those pictures are going to help increase our prison population.
Now, everybody, act immediately. Send only 50 cents with your name and address clearly printed and only one Pepsi-Cola bottle top for your genuine counter-spy candid-type camera, the same type David Harding used in the episode you just heard. Send to Counter-Spy Headquarters, Box 12, New York 8, New York. That's Box 12, New York 8, New York. And remember,
Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot. Lots more value, lots more zest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, same station, to Counter Spy. Listen on Thursday for the exciting Counter Spy case of the International Intrigue.
A case involving such elements as a hidden chateau in the mountains, an X-ray picture of special teeth, and a scientist who died and came to life. Your Counter Spies will never forget this attempt on one of our most precious security secrets. Be sure to be listening Thursday, day after tomorrow, for
Case of the International Intrigue on Counter Spy. Tonight's Counter Spy program originated in New York, was directed by Leonard L. Bass, dramatized by Palmer Thompson, and featured Don McLaughlin and Mandel Kramer, with music by Jesse Crawford. Bob Shepard speaking. Counter Spy is a Phillips H. Lord production for Pepsi-Cola. Enjoy some Pepsi ice cold tonight.
Counter Spy and the Case of the Photograph Furrier from October 18th, 1949. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll wrap up the hour with two short programs. First, an episode of the NBC Little Theater, a series of very short radio plays. From November 10th, 1949, we'll hear One Brief Moment. We'll then hear an episode of The Tide Show, a daily musical program starring Jack Smith and Ginny Sims, a CBS broadcast from October 26th of 1951.
The NBC Little Theater, starring Gerald Moore and Betty Lou Gerson. Did you ever stop to think that some of the most important things that ever happened to you took place in one brief moment? Some of these brief moments we bring to life again tonight, and in the weeks to come, on the stage of our little theater. So gently hear and kindly judge our play. It was a night of triumph for Paul Orman, the actor. His play had opened a sensational hit. But more important than all this, he fears he is about to lose the woman he loves to her husband.
Paul, darling.
Oh, I've missed you.
Oh, darling. Why did you come here? Are you out of your mind?
Could be.
But John will see you. We're having a party tonight. Darling, you must go. I've arranged everything for us. You're going to ruin it.
Darling, the worst thing you can do to an actor is not ask about his play on opening night.
Oh, forgive me. How was it?
Smash.
And you?
At my best.
Of course you would be. I'm so glad. But, Paul, you must leave now. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're a liar, Madeline.
What?
You're going to Canada tomorrow with your husband to hunt moose.
Good evening, Mr. Orman.
How do you do?
Madeline, I didn't know you were expecting the celebrated Mr. Orman tonight.
I dropped in to say goodbye to both of you. Wish you happy hunting. Canada, isn't it?
Yes. I do my hunting in Canada. Have a drink, Mr. Orman?
No, thanks.
John, don't you think you're having too many drinks?
No. Well, you're wasting one of your goodbyes, Mr. Orman. My wife isn't going with me. Oh, excuse me, there's old Charlie Henderson. Gotta see him before he gets too tight. Sorry you can't stay for my party, old man. I'll see you again, no doubt. Good night.
Oh, darling, I adore you. Forgive me for doubting you.
Of course.
Love me.
Love you.
Then you're coming with me.
What?
We'll go to Rio. We'll get married.
But darling, John will hear you.
In his condition? Oh, operator, Murray Hill, 7576.
Who are you calling?
My manager. Got a little news for him.
What news, Paul?
Kiss me. I adore you. Blindly, stupidly, madly. Oh, hello, Ben? Yeah, it's me. Now, listen carefully. What? Magnificent notices, huh? Better than who? Olivier. Ha ha! Poor Larry. It's very interesting. Now, look, Ben, I want you to close the play. Post the notice immediately. Yeah, padlock the theater. I'm leaving the city.
Paul, close a hit.
Darling, you're worth 1,000 hits. Oh, no, Ben. I'm in my right mind. Yeah, close it. Pay everybody off and get me 2 tickets on the Clipper for Rio. For tomorrow, yeah. And a wedding present. Goodbye.
I can't believe it.
I'll make you believe it. Every hour, every day that you're with me, I... Oh, Mr. Holloway.
Thought you were going, Ormond.
John.
I was looking for you, Madeline. Party's becoming a bore. Too many drunks.
We were talking about Paul's play. It opened tonight.
Oh, yes. Madeline, I was rather hoping you'd changed your mind about Canada.
I'm afraid not, dear.
Oh. I don't see how you could resist it. Best shooting in the world, if you're looking for moose. Right, Mr. Ormond?
So they say.
Ever hunted moose, Mr. Ormond?
No.
Maybe you'd like to come with me.
John, you're drunk.
Don't exaggerate. Tell you what I'll do with you, Ormond. I'll let you use my favorite gun. Have you seen my collection? Come on in the den. I'll show it to you.
Quite a trophy room.
This is my favorite gun. I call him Colonel Johnson. He's never failed me.
How are you, Colonel?
Charming fellow. The Colonel.
Always wanted to talk to you, Ormond. You won't mind if I overhaul the Colonel. He needs a little sprucing up.
Not if you point the Colonel the other way.
John, please be careful with that gun.
My dear, the Colonel's not loaded. I may be, trifle, but not the Colonel. Last year I knocked over 3 moose. The Colonel was only a captain then, but I promoted him after the 3rd moose.
Very fair of you.
John, we've got to get back to the party. They'll be missing us.
Not a chance. Not as long as the champagne holds out. Uh-huh. The trigger's a little sticky. I'm surprised at you, Colonel Johnson. Ever use guns, Ormond?
Only on the stage.
Shoot 'em?
Not with real bullets, no. In the theater, we prefer blanks.
Oh, this is ridiculous. You can fix your stupid guns in the morning, John.
No.
But I haven't danced with you this evening yet. Come on, won't you?
I dislike dancing, quite violently.
For heaven's sake, put down that gun, John.
Madeline, I think perhaps you'd better leave.
I have no secrets from my wife. She may have from me, though. You know how women are. But men. Well, a man is usually full of truth and honor. That is, most men. An actor can get along without much truth and honor.
An actor can get along without anything, Mr. Holloway. Except a good play.
That's well put. Ormond, sorry I missed your show. Been reading the out-of-town reviews. Said in the papers you get killed in it.
At the very end of the very last act.
Couldn't make up their minds any sooner, huh? I understand a woman shoots you.
Yes. The woman I love.
Whose wife is she? In the play.
John.
You know, I'm terribly curious. How do you act when this woman points a gun at you? Are you afraid?
No. A little sad, but resigned. I'm drinking a highball.
Have one?
No, thanks.
Don't act afraid, huh? Doesn't sound very real to me.
What would you suggest I do? How would you play it?
A fellow ought to be afraid when a gun's pointing at him.
You said an actor can always get along without truth and honor. But without courage, Mr. Holloway, he'd be a flop. The audience always likes courage. They wouldn't like to see me afraid.
Acting. That's something I never understood about Madeline. Never could figure out if she meant something or was just acting. It's kept me guessing a long time. Marriage is no fun when it turns into a guessing game. Well, Colonel, you've never failed me.
Oh!
John!
Oh! You took quite a long time about it, Mr. Holloway. I was getting a little nervous.
It was an accident.
Was it?
You saw it, Madeline. I was cleaning my gun. It went off. I thought it wasn't loaded.
Oh, what are you going to do? John, they'll arrest you. They'll take you away. John, why did you do this? He may die. They'll put you in prison. You've got to get away.
You can tell the police it was unintentional. That your husband and I were the best of friends.
Yes, of course. It was unintentional. I'll tell them. John, call the doctor.
Yes.
No. It's too late for a doctor. The curtain's down. This is the very last. Of the very last act.
No. No, we'll get a doctor. John, darling, I didn't know. I've been stupid. I've been horrible. John, I made you do this.
Accident. Might happen to anyone.
That's right, Madeline. You'll be my witness.
You know I will.
Thank you, Madeline.
Oh! You're not hurt! Oh! Oh, thank heaven!
How'd you like it, Mr. Holloway?
Like what?
My performance. I couldn't resist it. When anybody shoots me, I always fall dead. Death scene's my specialty.
You were acting.
It's an off night for the Colonel, huh, Mr. Holloway? I hope you have better luck in Canada. With a moose.
Paul, he didn't try to shoot you. It was accidental.
The only accidental thing about it, my dear, was that he missed. You needn't have worried about your wife, Mr. Holloway. She loves you devotedly. Your strong, manly ways. Your stalwart bank account. Even the moose.
You aren't going to do anything about this?
There's nothing I can do. This performance wasn't for the critics or the public. Merely private theatricals in a gun room, huh? Good night, Madeline. Mr. Holloway. And good night, Colonel. I always know an exit cue when I hear one. And your wife gave me an excellent one tonight.
John, what are you staring at?
Look. The sofa. Where he was sitting.
It has blood on it.
One brief moment for Paul, for Madeline, for John, and for you. Yes, all the world's a stage, and we are the players. We have our entrances and our exits. Good night. Our stars, Gerald Moore and Betty Lou Gerson. Ted Osborne was heard as John. Our director, Joseph Ainley. The NBC Little Theater comes to you from Hollywood. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.
This is The Tide Show with Frank Duvall and his orchestra, starring Jack Smith and Ginny Sims, brought to you by Tide, T-I-D-E, Tide. The wash day miracle that gives you the cleanest wash in town.
Tidy Friday to you, friends. Hi there, Ginny.
Hi there, Jack. Got a little supper music for us?
Right, Ginny. This one really rattles the dishes.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every rose is heavy with dew. On high, his sleepy mate Fate is calling, and my heart is calling you. Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every road is heavy, heavy with dew. The thrush on high, his sleeping mate is calling, and my heart is calling, calling you.
Wonderful, Jack. So that was so happy. Frank, the same to you. That arrangement was so full of joy.
Natch, I'm a great big bundle of joy.
Yeah, a bundle of joy. Last Saturday, a gang of us were watching Red Skelton, and you could hear us laughing as far east as Maine. But the best Frank could do was a sickly grin.
Oh, Frank, don't you ever laugh so hard that you have to hold your sides and practically fall on your face?
Of course not. It wouldn't be ladylike.
You know, that reminds me. I'd like a lady like Ginny to introduce you folks to a very charming new ballad.
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss. Sweetheart, I ask no more than this, a kiss to build a dream on. Give me a kiss before you leave me, and my imagination will feed my hungry heart. Leave me one thing before we part, a kiss to build a dream on. When I'm alone with my fancy, I'll be with you, weaving romances, making believe they're true. Give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live. Give me what you alone can give, a kiss to build a dream on. Give me a kiss to build a dream on, my love.
Time's in, dirt's out.
I have the cleanest sheets in town. I wear the cleanest clothes, 'cause Tide beats any soap on earth, as everybody knows.
Tide gets clothes cleaner than any soap.
Any soap?
Yes, any soap.
You get the cleanest wash in town with T-I-D-E, Tide.
Yes, of all the gals who do their wash, you'll get the cleanest wash in town with Tide. For Tide gets clothes cleaner than any soap of any kind. Tide not only gets out ordinary dirt, but removes dulling soap film as well. Just try Tide for yourself and see that Tide miracle in your cleaner wash prints, sheets, and play clothes. Yes, there's just nothing like Tide. And it's kind to hands, too. Now, milder than ever before. So make the next wash that goes through your rinse tub a Tide wash, the cleanest wash in town.
You get the cleanest wash in town with T-I-D-E, Tide.
The two big R's in music are rhythm and romance. And believe me, nobody can put them together better than Cole Porter. As Dorothy Parker once said to her boyfriend, fare thee well. As Columbus announced when he knew he was bounced, it's been swell, Isabel, swell. As Juliet cried in her Romeo's ear, Romeo, why not face the fact, my dear? It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then ring, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Say, Jack, this song is so romantic, but I hate to stand up here all alone and sink it into this old cold microphone.
Oh, go ahead, Jack. Put your arm around her and look in her eyes while she sings.
Oh, golly, Ginny, I'd like to, but I'm afraid you'd melt my wiring.
Okay. Then I'll sing it to that big, handsome Marine in the third row.
When we are dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas. I get ideas. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. I want to scold you 'cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me, there's fire in every finger. I get ideas. I get ideas. And after we have kissed goodnight, still you linger. I kind of think you get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you're never saying. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. For that's the whole idea. It's true, the lovely idea that I've fallen in love with you. For that's the whole idea. It's true, the lovely idea that I've fallen in love with you.
Tide's in, dirt's out. You get the cleanest wash in town with T-I-D-E, Tide.
Yes, Tide gives you the cleanest wash in town, for Tide gets clothes cleaner than any soap of any kind. You see, Tide banishes both ordinary dirt and dulling soap film. See Tide's amazing miracle for yourself in cleaner play clothes for your children, cleaner cloths for your table. Make the next wash you rinse out the cleanest wash in town with
T-I-D-E, Tide.
Say, Ginny, do you believe in long engagements?
Well, long enough for the boy and girl to make sure that they've got a lot in common, Jack.
You know, my girl and I've got a lot in common. We both like money.
That's a fairly common occurrence, Frank, but seriously, young lovers, before you take that fatal step, sit down and double-check, like twosome in this new tune.
I'm lonesome.
I'm stranded.
I'm truthful.
I'm candid.
And we're both left-handed. I seem to have a lot in common with you. You slay me.
I floor you.
You vex me.
I bore you.
But I can't
ignore you.
We seem to have a lot in common, we two.
Two noble souls designed above.
Two silly characters in love. I'm average.
I'm so-so.
Not too-too.
Or oh-so.
Thank heaven.
We know so. Lonesome, stranded.
Truthful, candid.
Silly or sappy.
Long as we're happy.
I got a lot in common with you.
So noble are our horoscopes.
You've never guessed that we were dolts. You're scrawny, I'm skinny.
You're tone deaf, and I'm tinny.
You're Jackie.
You're Ginny, tender, tasty.
Pale and pasty,
people will find us as fate designed us. I have a lot in common with you.
Well, Ginny, looks like time's up on the Tide Show.
Okay, Jack. Hope to see all of you folks again Monday.
Yeah, I like that real estate song you two did.
Real estate song, Frank? What do you mean?
I've got a lot in common with you.
We'll try and figure that out over the weekend, friends. See you Monday.
The same time.
The same place.
Next Monday night.
Hasta la Tide, Jack.
So long, Ginny.
The Tide Show comes to you every weekday evening, Monday through Friday at the same time. Be sure and be with us Monday night for another Tide Show with Frank Duvall and his orchestra, starring Jack Smith and Ginny Sims. And remember, always buy two boxes of Tide, one for the cleanest clothes in town, one for the easiest, pleasantest dishwashing ever.
Naturally curly hair, really glorious naturally curly hair, is that what you'd like? Well, now you can have a home permanent wave so close to the loveliest naturally curly hair, you'll be amazed. The name is Lilt. L-I-L-T, Lilt. Procter & Gamble's Lilt. No other home permanent wave looks, feels, behaves so much like really glorious naturally curly hair. Now, the secret of Lilt's superior wave is superior ingredients. That means you can use the Lilt refill with any plastic curlers. You'll get a wave far more like naturally curly hair. Procter & Gamble guarantees that, or your money back. Get L-I-L-T, Lilt.
Be sure to listen to The Tide Show with Jack Smith and Ginny Sims at the same time Monday. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Tide Show from October 26th of 1951 and the NBC Little Theater from November 10th of 1949 before that. That wraps it up for this hour of the program. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our website is qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. Please join me again soon for another hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.